sweat technique. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No Blankers today. Brian's filling in for Blankers. 713-780-3776. Why is Blankers not here? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Wheatstraw says Blankers is out today because he heard they were having free spinning classes at Planet Fitness. No free plugs, Wheatstraw. What are you doing? Have you ever done a spinning class, Brian?
No, I have not. Have you?
No. I've never done a spinning class. I don't think I'd have any interest in doing a spin. I don't have any. Exercise is overrated. I'm anti-exercise.
I would have guessed you would have had a negative take on spin classes, but yeah, I had to ask anyway.
I'm not even really sure I know exactly what it is. I'm imagining that you're on an exercise bike.
I wouldn't call it an exercise. I mean, I guess it's an exercise bike in so much that it's stationary, but it's not like what you would consider like a home exercise bike. It's more like an actual bike that's just stationary, and it's the biking is more intense, from my understanding.
You go Lance Armstrong on that thing?
Without the roids.
And 713-780-3776. Where is Blankers today? 713-780-3776. Do you feel better about the Texans today than you did when the season ended? 713-780-3776. XX Ron says, I feel a little better about the Texans, but more than that, we can see more of their plan. With signings and holes filled, we can get better picture of draft day plans. All right, what do you feel about this, Brian? Do you think the Texans are better?
I do, and I think I feel better about it. Maybe this is unfair, or maybe this was just a product of not really knowing what to expect from a young team this last season. But it felt like outside of a few players, obviously with Stroud and Will Anderson and a few others, it kind of felt at times like what the Texans were doing, what was working, and what was leading to them eventually winning the AFC South was a bit smoke and mirrors. I looked at it, and it looked like it was kind of the sum of their parts was not as great as the whole, or whatever the saying is. Like they had good players, they had a few great players like C.J. Stroud and obviously Nico Collins and Will Anderson and Stingley all had really good seasons. But I couldn't help but look at their roster and see the warts and think, like, I don't know if they ran this back. And not that you'd run back the full roster, because there's obviously going to be some turnover. But I didn't think that roster was good enough necessarily to run back and expect the same results of 2023 or to even increase from there. So I'm glad to see them actually start to put some, I guess, better names on the roster in those spots. And it feels less smoke and mirrors now, looking at that roster, to actually come to the conclusion that they could go beyond what they did last year.
Yeah, I feel better about where they are now than where they were at the start of the offseason or at the end of last season. Like, the arrow's pointing up. Like, 1 year of D'Amico, 1 year of Stroud, Will Anderson, all the young foundational pieces. So I kind of feel where I was expected to feel. Like, after, I know free agency's not over, but going into the offseason and after having a few of these signings, I like a lot more where the defense is out. Like, you look at this front four, Malik Collins is kind of a curveball. Like, we all assume that there's going to be a secondary move. But I like where this defensive line is at quite a bit. The book, you're adding Danielle Hunter to Will Anderson. Like, that is one of the best defensive end duos in the entire NFL. Like, that is in that type of conversation. I think it's the most premium position on the defensive side of the ball. And you have the best duo at that position? Like, that's significant. That's something that's going to get respect, especially, like, who cares what the talking head said or say, and, like, you know, best free agency, who cares what they say? That's going to get the respect of other offensive coordinators that are game planning for those defenses. Same thing with, I like the Autry signing a lot, too. Like, he's a game wrecker as well. So, and then the Al Shire. Like, I think he's a legitimate linebacker that can play in the middle. I don't think the Texans had that last year. You know, Blake Cashman, as good as he was, he's not somebody that I have faith in that can be that stud middle linebacker, game in, game out. I thought they got the most out of him, and they squeezed the most out of him. But this is like a legit linebacker. So I feel a lot better about that. The offense, you haven't really done a ton, right? Like, the only thing that you've done is you brought back Schultz.
Running backs.
you switched out running backs. And there's a debate, you know, that could be had which running back you like more. You know, I think Mixon's a little bit better than Singletary. You think that Singletary is a little bit better than Mixon. I think there is still work to be done at that position, though, because right now you have two running backs under contract that, you know, real NFL contracts, not future reserve contracts like our guy J.J. Taylor, the Tank Dell of the running back position. We love J.J. Taylor, but he's currently on a reserve deal. We're talking about, like, the actual 53-man roster, and I hope that we see J.J. Next year, because he's our favorite running back for the Houston Texans. But they have two running backs on the 53 right now with Joe Mixon, with Damian Pierce, and one of those four guys is not somebody I want to see carry the ball in this offense anymore because he's not a scheme fit. So I still want to see a solid second running back to pair with Mixon, and then I wanted to see them address that position in the draft as well. Just take like a freak athlete in the third, fourth round. Like, we forget that A-Chain from A&M was a third rounder. Like, if you could – I know that those type of players don't grow on trees, but imagine getting that type in the third round and then adding it to a Mixon – maybe a second-tier free agent. Like, well, that's a cool
especially
room.
This
that's a
system, because it's, you know, obviously a very similar system to what A-Chan was running in Miami under Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I mean, he would be – that's a pipe dream type, like, fit. Like, I wish that – you know, I think he's a perfect fit for this type of offense. Now, how did he get to the third round? Like, he's smaller.
Size.
He didn't have great production. He had good production. Maybe not great production at A&M. Maybe not as much as they thought he was going to have. But that would be the perfect fit for me. So I feel much better about where the Texans are than I do when the season ended.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to have any other conclusion, in my opinion. I mean, you look across the roster, and there's really nowhere. I mean, like I said yesterday, if I'm being super nitpicky, maybe do I like Singletary more than Mixon? Yes. But when you look across the rosters, there's not a single position where you can look at and go, okay, they got worse there. Like, at the very least, basically every position on the team, they've either stayed neutral or they've improved. And in the only real case you can make for anything that might be even considered a step back would be the running back position. But there's still a lot of time to make improvements either through free agency or in the draft. So, yeah, like, this team, if I'm not saying it felt like – I think I used smoke and mirrors earlier in the segment.
Yeah.
It kind of felt – it's maybe similar to the Bucks, where, okay, there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of good pieces. There's definitely reason for optimism. But, okay, they're coming from the AFC South. They're coming from the NFC South. The competition in the division is not what it is in other divisions. And even though you won the division, even though you have very impressive moments, there would be reason to believe without the steps they've taken this offseason to see a step back, because maybe the roster wasn't as good as we thought it was. But with the moves they've made, they've answered pretty much all those questions. There's still work to be done, as you've mentioned, cornerback depth, left guard, running back depth, third wide receiver. But I have faith in Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans to get that done, because every step of the way since this regime took over, they've pretty much answered all the questions we've had in a positive way.
Yeah. I don't think that's a terrible way to put it. Like, I don't think the Texans were a top seven team in the NFL, top five, top seven team in the NFL, and want to play in that. Like, you want to be in the mix there.
Yeah, I felt bad about making the comparison, because that almost gives kind of the thought of where the Texans were under Bill O'Brien. Like, oh, yeah, they're division champs, but, yeah, they're 9-7. Basically, every win was against the division team that wasn't, you know, any good at all. So I'm not saying the Texans were that, but, look, we went into the season. Basically, everyone was picking 6-7 wins, sometimes, you know, maybe even less than that. No one thought they were going to win 10 games, win the AFC South. That division did, or that roster didn't look like a division-winning team. It was obviously carried by some special young talent with C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, and the reemergence of – or not reemergence, but the emergence of Derek Stingley. But, yeah, without this infusion of talent, I don't think the Texans would have taken that step forward, but I now see that as very possible.
I think you have to look at it from a caliber standpoint, and maybe like a tier standpoint, and like, what tier do you want to play in?
Like last year,
who cares what tier they played in? They had a rookie quarterback, they had a first-year head coach, they had a very young team that had won 11 games in the previous 3 years. Like, who cares what tier you're at there? Like, go play ball, try to get the most out of your young players, develop, and then let's reevaluate at the end of the season. And they blew out everybody's expectations. Like, no one would have put them at, maybe they were a second tier team. Okay, well, now you know that about them. How do you get to that next tier? And I think that they've taken some steps this year to get in the offseason to get to that next year. So I applaud what they did. I think that they've done a really good job so far. They still have work to do, obviously, because they still have a lot of roster spots to fill. But I applaud them. I think that they've done a heck of a job. I think that the criticism for Nick Caserio has been unwarranted, quite frankly, forever. Like, people were blasting him for his moves in year one and year two. Who cares? Who cares? Like, you had David Culley and Lovie Smith.
And
you were going to win 10 games tops. Like, in combined, you were winning 10 games tops in those 2 years. Yeah. Like, and that's where I think Nick Caserio kind of mishandled it. Whereas Nick Caserio is like, oh, you know, we trust the process. Like, just say you're rebuilding. Say you have to reload. It would have bought you more leeway. It would have bought you more, like, approval rating. Now, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things because he's doing fine now. People want him to be the executive of the year, blah, 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 blah. But I think he's done a marvelous job, and I've been one that's been very critical of some of his moves. In hindsight, grading it right now, I think he's done a great job. 1953, finally upgraded during free agency. Feel a lot better. Another text, 5595. Are they doing anything to address the O-line? They got hammered in that Ravens game. This is, see, like, it depends on who you ask. Because if you say, I want them to improve the O-line. Brian earlier said that he wants them to improve the O-line. The pushback that I get, though, and I even did a case study with this the other day, because, like, D'Amico Ryan said, we need to get better against the run. We need to be better running the football. Well, look what they did defensively. They've replaced three defensive linemen. What have they done on the offensive side? They have Joe Mixon over Singletary. That might not be an upgrade. If it is, it's a very minor one, and they've done nothing to the offensive line. But the moment that you say, let's go draft an offensive lineman at 23, people lose their minds. We put up those mock drafts and see where the like where our listeners are voting too. And the offensive lineman always gets like 3, 5, 7% of the vote. So, like, people say they want to improve offensive line, but then when you're like, okay, well, then take an offensive lineman at 23, they're like, no, absolutely not. So it's like you're not putting your money where your mouth's at whenever you say, yes, give me offensive line. Okay, cool, take one at 23. No, anything but that. It doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't. But I think that's just the nature of fandom. Like, I mean, people booed when Dwayne Brown was taken.
Yeah.
People boo. I mean, hell, people booed when J.J. Watt was taken, a defense alignment. There's just, and at the time, we weren't thinking that he was obviously not only the player he became, but just and even an edge rusher. I mean, people almost viewed him as just an interior guy. So, yeah, it's just there are sexy positions and there are non-sexy positions. An offensive line, no matter how big the need, is always going to be viewed as that. So there's really no way to win the night, win the draft when you take an offensive lineman. The guys like Mel Kiper aren't going to say you win the night. The fans aren't going to be super enthusiastic. But ultimately, if you hit the pick, then they'll change their opinion. Or if you fail the pick, like with Kenyon Green so far, they're going to see, you know, say, I told you so. So it's one of those picks you make, and you have to ignore the fans, because the only way they're actually going to be on board with it is years down the line if it actually hits.
Yeah, that's true. You make a decision about winning, and then you don't worry about the fans. You can't worry about the fans' opinion.
You're never going to win like a popularity contest, for lack of a better term, by taking an offensive lineman. It might be the right move. It might, you know, setting that money aside in a savings account might be the right move, but it's not as fun as going out and spending it on a new car.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you start listening to the fans, soon enough you'll be sitting with them.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that cliche. 713-780-3776, HRMP listener. A lot of people want to weigh in on this. Do you feel better about the Texans today than you did when the season ended? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling.
And you're listening to the Killer Bees and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
He's Brian. No blankers today. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Why is Blankers not here today? Wrong answers only. Ocho says Blankers is out because he wanted to binge Vanderpump Rules.
I think it's a Joe George joint, isn't it? Is it not?
Why do you think Joe why do you think Joe watches Vanderpump?
Because he says he does.
Because of me.
Oh, he got
because
that from
me.
You?
That's a Branham wreck.
God,
that's a Branham pick.
To be fair, that is, I think, a disease you catch. You, no one wants to watch Vanderpump, but you catch the disease and then you're trapped.
The truth is, you have a significant other that wants to watch Vanderpump, and you feel guilty for always watching sports. You hand them the remote, and that's
now
the
we
night
find the truth.
When. Yeah, that's how I started watching it, but I'm not gonna. Like, I'm not going to tell you that I don't. I'm not slightly entertained.
Random
I'm not slightly
drama.
Amused by all the drama. I mean, Scandoval was the news rocking the nation last summer.
Oh.
I mean, you didn't hear about Scandoval?
I didn't know who Tom Sandoval was until about a few weeks ago. I can't remember exactly what. I wish I could remember what he said, because I'm sure that he's got a lot of dumb quotes that's hard to say.
He's a worm with
one.
A mustache.
Yeah, I don't know, but I saw a clip on a clip show a week or so ago where he said something really dumb, but I hadn't heard of him until then.
Oh yeah, he's a moron. Yeah, he's an idiot. I'm not saying I watch him for their their brains.
No, you don't want him being a vice presidential candidate.
No, he would be in big trouble. Big trouble. Blankers heard about a pickup game at the Y and went to dominate some 12-year-olds. BK used to say that he was always dressed for a pickup game.
There's definitely a better than 0% chance that's true.
yeah. My grandpa would always say that he would always have his clubs in his car because you always have to be ready for when somebody asks you to play golf. That's like Blankers dressing like he's always ready for a pickup game. You never know. Somebody might ask you to play, you got to be ready to go. 713-780-3776. Why is Blankers gone? Wrong answers only. 9639, week one Texans from 23 versus week one Texans from 24. Who wins?
I would go 24.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt about
it. I don't think it's particularly close. Not only because,
I'll even – go ahead.
I mean, not only because of, you know, adding guys like Hunter and Danico Autry and those guys, but obviously the – Tank's going to be better. CJ Stroud in year two is going to be better. D'Amico as a coach is going to be better. So, yeah, I don't think it's particularly close. I think 2024 opening day Texans would be pretty big favorite against the 2023 opening Texans.
I'm with you on that. Even if I eliminated like the learning curve of a rookie and just went like talent versus talent and not the experience part of it, I would still go 24 Texans week one. 3-4, 5-1, what do y'all think about a DeAndre Hopkins reunion? I don't like the idea of it. I don't think he fits this offense. This offense wants separation. This offense wants guys who can get open. This offense wants speed. DeAndre Hopkins' skills aren't that. He's really good at catching balls in traffic. He's got great hands. I think he's a phenomenal receiver. Still think he is. I don't think he fits what the Texans are trying to do in that room, though.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, though I would say if we're gonna say that Robert Woods has a role on this roster, and I know both of us would prefer the Texans cut him, but if the Texans are going to have a role in this roster for Robert Woods, I'd rather have D-Hop directly compared to Robert Woods, because it's not like Robert Woods is getting a massive amount of separation. So I wouldn't mind D-Hop as kind of the old man Larry Fitzgerald in the slot type role, especially if the other choice is Robert Woods. But overall, I agree with your point.
Yeah, I wonder how much money he'd still want. He's still under contract,
isn't he? Is obviously a factor, too.
Isn't he under contract?
Yeah, he's still on the Titans.
He's not a free agent.
He's not
so
a free agent. You'd have to trade for him or they'd have to cut him.
They have Ridley and Hopkins.
Yeah.
And they brought in Pollard. Huh. That's very interesting. And they beefed up the offensive line
They're trying to load up for Levis. Hey, if Levis has it, we're going to find out.
Levis was the second best rookie quarterback in the NFL
last year.
I was right on Levis.
Bar that he cleared, but you are correct.
I was righter on Levis than everybody else was on Levis. I was wrong on Stroud, though. That's where I was wrong, massively wrong, amongst other things. Wheatstraw, the O-line is going to get some good practices in going up against that D-line. At practice, I agree. I think it'll be good, unless the defensive line is too disruptive and just kills the offensive line. 6-8, 5-6, if Damian Pierce does not fit the scheme, why don't the Texans just trade him? Easy answer here is because he's cheap, doesn't cost much, and then maybe in the second year he improves greatly, and then you don't want to sell low on a player who proved in his rookie year that he's pretty good. But I wouldn't lose any sleep, Ryan, if the Texans traded him for a fifth. I'd be like, okay, all right.
No, I wouldn't either. If we got a Rappaport or Schefter notification that the Texans have traded Pierce for a fifth, I'd be happy with that. But I think the other part of the problem is why they haven't traded. Not only is he easy cheap labor right now on the rookie contract, but I think the other teams around the league also know that Damian Pierce isn't a fit with the Texans right now.
Yep.
So if they like Damian Pierce, they probably just wait for you to drop him. They're not going to trade you anything of value for him.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is you're not going to really get any value here. This one's a good question for you, Brian. What's the argument for Singletary over Mixon? Singletary has never had a 1,000-yard season. Mixon has had four, including last year.
Well, to me, 1,000 yards is kind of a less and less impressive stat to me. But, I mean, it is fair. Singletary hasn't gotten there. But that's in part because of usage. I mean, Singletary, because of being in a system with Josh Allen, who also runs for a large part of his career, wasn't given the amount of carries. They're also trying to split carries with Zach Moss at that time for part of Devin Singletary's career. But the reason why I like Singletary more is, and we went over some of these stats, if you look up yards after contact, yards before contact, and all those sort of kind of advanced stats for running backs, broken tackles as well, Singletary's a little bit more elusive, and he's also younger. So I that's why I prefer Singletary.
Yeah, yeah, I like Mixon slightly more. I think that Brian brings up some compelling arguments about Singletary. I would be cool to have them both. Like, that would maybe feel way
sure.
better
yeah,
that, about
that,
the Texans.
And that's kind of the scenario we kept talking about during the offseason, is trying to find avoiding like the Saquon $14, $13 million per year and trying to find two kind of second-tier guys to fit in for the price of one, essentially.
Yep, 713-780-ESPN, 3451, maybe McCaffrey. He's talking about McAfee. Maybe McAfee can get J.J. to come out of retirement to play with this defensive line. I think that ship has sailed. I would love it. I think he'd still help you quite a bit, but I don't think that that's very
now,
plausible.
Why would you say
–
I'm interested to hear why you think that ship has sailed. I mean, other than maybe potentially money, I don't know what would want to come back, but I don't think – as good as he was in his last season in 2022 with, I think it was 12 and a half sacks, at his age a year ago, away from the game, I think when we were having this conversation before, we really envisioned him as a third down pass rush specialist. I could still right. see a role for him on this team as basically a third down player.
Oh, if he wanted to, I'm all in. Like, I'd be totally in on that. I'm going more based on his comments after the season with McAfee, where he talked about he kind of had those thoughts towards, like, the, I guess, two-thirds of the way through the regular season last year, and then ultimately didn't do it and doesn't feel like it's going to come back up. So I'm kind of basing it off of Watt's comments. I'm fully basing it off Watt's comments. If Watt called me tomorrow and I'm Nick Caserio and he said, let's do this, I'm like, okay. Let's go,
yeah,
big boy.
I mean,
we'll make room
imagine,
for you.
I mean, obviously the three defensive linemen you have now with Will Anderson, Danico Autry, and Danielle Hunter, and then you add J.J. Watt
yeah.
basically inside on a sub package, that'd be obviously
yeah.
amazing.
Well, yeah, when I say ship sailed, I think it's Watt playing football. Not that you would be disinterested in Watt. You'd be crazy not to be interested in Watt. 6'7", which, by the way, I've seen some people arguing this number 99 number. Like, Danielle Hunter wore number 99. People are, like, losing sleep over should he wear 99, should he not wear 99. I'll tell you this, I couldn't care less what number Danielle Hunter's wearing. I do not care at all.
I mean, I don't care about it either, but I think it's going to work itself out. I mean, Hunter grew up in the area. I don't know if he was a Texans fan per se, but I'm sure he's probably going to call J.J. Watt and ask him if he minds, and J.J. Watt, because he's J.J. Watt, will say, no, go ahead and wear it, and then the matter will be over.
The only cool thing would be is if they turn 99 into, like, your best defensive end.
Kind of like the Cowboys
you
did with 88.
It. Yeah, and, like, you don't always have it, but you have to earn it. Like, Watt had it, Hunter has it, and then maybe when, like, he leaves and then Anderson's that player, he has it. Like, that would be kind of cool. I don't really care if they do it. I would say that it'd be kind of cool if they do. I'm not going to stand on the table for it, you know, bang the drum, all that stuff. It would be kind of neat. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Gary?
Hey, how's it going? I just want to say I think I hear a little revisionist history with Nick Caserio. So, obviously, I've been very anti-Nick Caserio in the past. I have to admit what's real. He has done a great job in this last year. But that doesn't mean, like, that doesn't take away the fact that, like, Kenyon Green is still on this football team. Like, that's a, you know what I mean? Like, he still
yep.
hired David Cook. Like, all of those things still happen. And I am saying I think he's doing a great job now, but let's not conflate doing a great job now with that he's always done a great job, because that's just not true.
No, no, it's like, not. You're right, Gary. Like, he hasn't. I've said that I've been critical. I was very critical of the trade up for Will Anderson. I thought that was boneheaded and stupid. I was the one that was wrong there. The David Culley, I'm willing to give Caserio grace, because I think it was just like a I think it was a raw coach because they knew they were rebuilding, so it's kind of like whatever. But then he couldn't co-sign him for a second year, so he got rid of him, but just hired the interim head coach in Lovie Smith. So I'm willing to give him a pass on the head coaching things. The worst thing he's done was trading back for Kenyon Green, and he does deserve criticism there. I 100% agree.
And let me just say this. I'm probably going to sound like a hater. Stingley is a very good cornerback. Sauce Gardner is still a better cornerback than Derek Stingley. Also, Sauce Gardner has missed the one game in his career, whereas Stingley has missed about half of the games that he's supposed to have played. So, once again, like, people need to understand nuance. Stingley is very good.
Sure.
But, like, to this point, Sauce Gardner is a two-time All-Pro who's missed one game. So,
yeah.
I just don't want revisionist history. Nick Caserio is doing a great job. I'm excited about the future, but let's not make this guy, you know, into some all-time great GM, because that's not the fact.
I was more of a defender of Caserio, and people were haters of Caserio. He's certainly not bulletproof. He's certainly not perfect. None of those GMs. Oh, he hung up. I wanted to ask him about the Sauce Stingley, because I think Stingley, like, okay, you have your pick of Sauce Stingley. Let's revisionist history at hindsight 2020. Which of the two is better to have? Sauce is fine to answer there. Saying that in the city might ruffle some feathers. Like, I don't disagree with Gary. Like, Sauce has the better 2 years than Stingley had. Stingley's still a very good player. Sauce, really good player. Which of the two? You're kind of, you know, picking nits there a little bit. But I think the fact that Sauce proved that he was really good certainly closed the gap to Sauce and makes that not a terrible pick. Maybe not the right one of the two, but still a pick that you're totally happy with because you still got a really good player.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would still lean towards Sauce, but I don't have a problem with the pick either way. It's certainly, you've put yourself in a spot where I think criticizing Caserio over the pick is completely invalid because Stingley has become a very good player. I think it's really just, you know, preference and scheme fit at this point because both, I think, have proven to be very good players. I'd lean Sauce. But I don't think there's a bad argument for the side of Stingley.
Yeah, I can't look at that pick. You could say, well, should have picked Sauce instead of Stingley. But I don't think you can look at that pick and be like, okay, that's bad. You know, you can nitpick and be like, well, I'd rather have Sauce than Stingley. Sauce, better player. You could say you got it wrong. I just don't know how you could be too critical because of how Stingley produced. And, like, still a story to be told. Now, the Kenyon Green thing to me is inexcusable in terms of, like, you know, you're trying to make the best decision for the team. I get all that. Hindsight 2020, totally, 100% here. But trading down to select Kenyon Green, wasn't good at his rookie year. Second year didn't play at all. Hopefully he's going to be really good the next few years. Not that any of us actually think that. But then you also passed up on Kyle Hamilton and Jordan Davis. And it's like, I would love to have Kyle Hamilton right now on this football team. Instead, we're talking about how we're replacing Kenyon Green at left guard. Like, if I could pinpoint one thing that I'm, you know, look at Nick Caserio's decisions and transactions, that's the one that stands out to me above all the others.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, if you're looking for the one glaring flaw so far on his resume, it's that Kenyon Green deal. Because look, there was obviously some questionable moves. I know you and Joel picked out some of the times where he was, you know, moving picks around for players that didn't end up doing anything, like these fifth-round picks and whatnot. But ultimately, any sins from the first two seasons when they were trying to lose anyway, I'm basically willing to forgive, wash away, and move on. The one thing that still remains as like, that's a terrible move, and that's a move that we're going to look back and judge for a long time, is certainly the Kenyon Green pick. But go over the last 2 years. If Kenyon Green's really the only thing, there's far more hits, obviously, now than misses over these last two seasons.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Today's a Willibit day. You never know what you're going to get with the Willibits. What is it today? We know it's going to be fantastic, though. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It's time, basketball bettors. It's March Mania. Brandon, I'm here to tell you about BetUS.com. I endorse one sportsbook and casino, and that's BetUS.com. They've been driving to the basket for over 30 years. This year, BetUS has an epic three-pointer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right. The industry's crazy.
craziest 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance, and there's even more. BetUS accepts crypto and is offering a massive 200% crypto sign-up bonus. Gambler's insurance and crypto, you don't see that anywhere. March Mania Basketball can even get more exciting with their live in-game betting. It's also a blast to check out their casino after the game, where you can get a 250% casino bonus. Get started by visiting BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. That's 1-800-MY-BETUS to learn all about their bonuses and special offers. BetUS, where the game begins.
We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Where's Blankers today? He's out. Brian McDonald in for him. Matt Sack by BMAC. Blankers is busy crushing cheese curds and ketchup. Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Blankers is on his way to pick up Dr. James Andrews to fix Shingun's springy sprain. Okay. I prefer Dr. Neil L. Attache. Greatest doctor name ever. Dr. Neil L. I call him El Attache because he's attaching things back together. He has an art in there somewhere. I think it's a Attache, actually, but I call him Attache.
Is that the Coons doctor or something?
No, that's the guy that does – Garrett Cole's looking at him. He does all the big surgeries now. He's like the new Dr. James Andrews. He did Lance McCullers, Flexor Tendon, Dr. El Attache.
There was a period of time where literally every single athlete, even the professional wrestlers, were going to Dr. James Andrews. So this is the new Dr. James Andrews.
He's the new one. Dr. El Attache is the new James Andrews. Okay. So we were going to do Will of Bits, but we let the listeners drive our show because we care about you, the listeners. And people just don't want to stop talking about Nick Caserio decisions. So let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. John, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Great. Been a good day so far. It was a good day yesterday. I would say, honestly, Casario's had some little ups and downs, but overall he's done a pretty great job, in my opinion. Even like the whole Kenyon Green issue, like at the time, everybody was hyped about that pick because he was a two-time All-American and he's from Texas. And also was like no injury issues at all during college, so nobody could have expected him to have like back-to-back years just riddled with injuries and barely getting to play, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate it, John. And this texture, too, Texan Matt, A&M homer, but I think Green will figure it out. Good player in college, bad coach his rookie year. I think he proves himself this year. I know Nico is number 13 overall, but look at the I don't know what number 13 overall means. He was a third rounder. But look at the jump he made with a great coach. Okay, yeah, I think that's fair. Let's the book on Kenyon Green's not closed. It just has not started off very good. Kind of like Caserio's tenure with the Houston Texans. His first 2 years, not good. It's getting better. Now, Caserio took over a bad team, you know, cap hell, et cetera, et cetera. And, yes, every GM is going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. The Kenyon Green right now is the one that you look at as the worst pick that he's made. And I'm willing to overlook David Culley. Like, whoever, who cares who you had coach a 3-4 win team? Who cares that, you know, you promoted Lovie Smith for 1 year to, you know, take over a 4 win team? Like, you got the coach when it mattered. I kind of look at it like, you know, whenever you were in school and you had like these little daily grades and you had quizzes and then you had like your test.
Sure.
And then you had your finals. Like, who really cares? It didn't matter as much what you did on your dailies. It didn't matter what you did on these little
pop
quizzes.
Right. If you nail the final, the other stuff doesn't matter.
And the first 2 years for Nick Caserio were daily assignments. Like, this is the big stuff now, and so far so good. So far so good. 713-780-ESPN HRMP listener line. Let's go back out there to the HRMP listener line for Richard. Richard, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up? Hello, Richard.
Richard's not answering.
All right. No, we don't need Richard. We don't need Richard.
To your point, and this is going to sound like I'm being overly an apologist for Nick Caserio, but I agree with you in that I don't really care what happened the first years, 2 years, because they weren't trying to build. They weren't even really trying to find players necessarily that were going to be here. I mean, not completely, but as much as Nick Caserio likes, you know, 2 and 3 year contracts, they weren't signing contracts for guys that they would hope going to be around here for the long term. So I'm pretty much completely 99% willing to overlook anything that happened in those first 2 years. So when you look at the last two drafts, these last two seasons, or one season and two drafts, I've really only find the one flaw from Nick Caserio being the Kenyon Green trade down and selection in the draft 2 years ago. So if that is the only major flaw, I mean, you could maybe nitpick a few other things in here and there. I'm not even sure what those would be. But
did
overall,
you say nitpick?
Did I say nitpick? Yeah, nitpick. What?
Oh, I thought you said nitpick. I thought you were making a play on words.
If I did say nitpick, then wear I stumbled it upon something amazing. We will need to use that going forward. But no, without being extremely nitpicky, the only thing you can really find from the last two drafts in this last season where Caserio failed was Kenyon Green. And what GM is ever going to hit, 100% of his moves? So I think if we're talking and admitting that Kenyon Green's really the only failure since they actually started to move forward and trying to be a winning franchise, there's nothing but glowing. You can't give anything but glowing praise and remarks to what Caserio's done.
Now, I think to Gary's point earlier, who called, I think we do have to wait and play some of this stuff out, because if Derek Stingley is more of a player who he was, I'm not even talking about quality, I'm talking about health.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. I'm living in the moment. Right now, those decisions look great. Should. They could certainly backfire down the road, but right now, living in the moment, they look great.
Yeah, we should. That's how we should do that. A lot of Dr. El Attache jokes going on right now in the Twitch.
Give me some.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say him on the air. Dr. El Attache sounds like a fake doctor in the Mexican hood. I think Dr. El Attache, now this is me speaking now, I think that it actually sounds like a corny white guy trying to make a funny joke about what like a Spanish surgeon would be named.
You know, you're actually, 100%.
I could see a corny white guy.
I could see Jeff Dunham making that joke.
I can think of a lot of people making that joke, but I have no idea what Dr. El Attache is. His name's not even Dr. El Attache. It's Dr. El Attache, I think. I call him El Attache because it looks better and sounds better.
So you're the white guy making the joke then.
But I'm not really. But I turned it into the joke.
Okay.
Because maybe I am the white guy making the corny joke. But now that it's Dr. El Attache, it'd be like some white guy saw a surgeon with like Hispanic descent. They're like, hey, look at Dr. El Attache. Okay, good one, man. That's funny. Ha ha. That's what it sounds like to me. 713.
You're dead on with that.
Where is Blankers? Final chance to get Where is Your Blankers today?
Quickly, before we go to break, there's a good one from 8835. Joel's not going to like this because it sometimes goes back to us asking if this happened in black and white. But from 8835, Blank is back in his childhood home looking at his photos with Pistol Pete and Wilt Chamberlain.
I don't think Joel's going to like that one. It's a funny joke. Serious story though, real quick. Do you know that famous Wilt Chamberlain picture where he's holding up the piece of paper, the 100 points?
Right.
Yeah. Joel Blank took that picture. He took that picture. 713-780-3776.
Black and white.
Yeah, he did. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What do you nominate for car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Blankers is eating ketchup with a steak, and Joe George is my favorite co-host. Oh. My favorite ESPN 975. That's not really what he said, but I said something nice because he said something mean.
Can we put that on Bad Take Boulevard?
No, he probably put it on Mean Text because I didn't actually read the real thing that he said. He said Joe George is something mean.
Oh,
I didn't want to be mean to Joe today.
Joe
hooked
me
up for 7 minutes. Yeah. Joe gave me 7 minutes today. I'm going to be nice to Joe for one day. One day.
Be nice to him for 7 minutes.
One day. He gets one day. He took care of me for seven minutes.
One full day?
Yeah, one day being nice. I'm not going to be nice tomorrow.
And that's a great exchange rate.
Yeah, it is pretty good. That's because I'm a nice guy. I like giving out good deals.
People have said that.
What do you, lots of people have said that. Dozens of people have said that. What are you nominating for our car wreck of the day?
First and foremost, I'm going to stay inside the Texans division. I'm going to nominate the Tennessee Titans for giving out a $92 million contract to Calvin Ridley. I don't get that one at all. That's a terrible deal. He's what, about 30 years old. I get that they're trying to load up for Will Levis, but giving out $92 million, 50 guaranteed to Calvin Ridley is terrible money.
I do appreciate how Ridley bet on himself and won.
Pun intended.
Yeah, this is I don't like this contract either, but I also am in favor of teams that help out rookie quarterbacks. Like, I was the one that advocated for Christian Kirk whenever the Jags signed him. I was like, all you guys are hating on this deal. Like, you give a rookie quarterback on their rookie contract, a guy who they can throw the football to that helps them out, helps their development, helps their progression.
Yeah,
so
I don't like
the contract either.
I guess you can make the argument it's better than not giving him a weapon. I just think they missed on the weapon they gave him, specifically on the contract they gave that weapon.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying my ire for it isn't as high as maybe yours or others. And also that offense is like, okay, Calvin Ridley, Hopkins, Tony Pollard. It's like, okay.
Names.
Like, if this offense sucks, then, well, coaching and Will Levis. So you kind of get your answer on who Will Levis is. So, like,
yeah.
I kind of appreciate it from that point of view.
There's a silver lining there.
The details, you're right. Too much money. But, you know, if you're Tennessee, you probably have to overspend to do it. It's kind of like the cold Colorado Rocky pitchers. If you're going to bring in a pitcher to Coors Field, you have to overspend to do it.
Bad team tax? Yeah, it could,
yeah, bad
it
team
definitely
tax.
Could be a bad team tax.
Bad ballpark tax for Coors. I hate doing this because this disturbed me so much. It disturbed me so much. I mean that sincerely. Aroldis Chapman.
Oh, that video
what
was...
What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
What are you doing?
I don't even want to describe it on air. It's just, yeah, just if you have a high tolerance for being able to keep yourself from throwing up, search
my
the video.
Goodness.
I don't recommend anyone do it because, as Jeremy says, it disturbed me to my core. Oh, my God.
His fastball was touching 75. I read that somewhere. It wasn't mine. It wasn't a Branham original. The
yikes, man.
I want to know his explanation, though. I really do.
I don't.
I really want to know
why?
The explanation. I don't
what
know.
What explanation could he give that makes it better?
Nothing. I don't know.
Exactly.
I just need to know what you're doing.
The only thing that can happen is you get even more creeped out by the explanation. There's no good that comes from that.
I've never seen anybody do that.
Oh.
I've never seen anybody do that.
Yeah, no, I haven't either.
That might be the
we've
grossest.
We've never walked a mile in his shoes, but I've never seen that.
That might be the grossest legal thing that I've ever seen.
It's up there. Yeah, it's definitely a contender.
What is going on?
We can continue to talk about car wrecks, but he's the winner, right?
We were talking about things that you carry with you for the rest of your life. Like when we were talking about Joe Mixon yesterday,
right.
And like Ben Roethlisberger's right. In that mix. I'm never going to escape this thought that Aroldis Chapman was touching 75 on social media. Never. I cannot. I was stunned. Not much stunned me. That's. Stunned me.
Yeah,
I didn't. I didn't. I thought it was fake.
No, I didn't even. I coming into work today, I heard there was something going on with Aroldis Chapman, but I didn't know exactly what it was. And then the video popped up on my timeline, and I was horrified to my core. There's no way his name can ever be brought up again without people like bringing this up and making fun of it. It's gross and creepy.
Aggie Matt says the Dell has the same interest in ladies.
Yeah, no, that's
it's a little different. It's not a little different. It's drastically,
different. Yeah.
At least I hope. I guess I don't know this, but
from
I
what
hope
I understand,
that to
Dell
be true.
Likes the Cougars. I don't think he.
Yes.
I don't think his fastball hits 75 though.
Or his mother.
Or that too. Yes.
3338 Branham thinking he's cool in any way. I don't, by the way, for the record. I want the record to know I don't think I'm cool. It's more of a bit. But, yeah, I said earlier
I mean, Branham's not cool, but Bourbon Branham's cool.
Facts. Those are facts. You have any others before we get to a couple from the audience here?
I know this is kind of old news, but Raiders officially released Jimmy Garoppolo today. The Raiders franchise and that whole decision, these mid-tier quarterbacks that people keep throwing on their roster thinking it's going to fix anything.
Who do you give the
nomination to that?
Who do you give it to?
Raiders.
give it to the Raiders?
Yeah, I'm not going to blame Jimmy Garoppolo for taking the money, but like the Raiders giving money to Garoppolo thinking he was going to fix anything.
Garoppolo would be like the last person.
It's not Garoppolo. It would be the Raiders.
Yeah.
But Aroldis Chapman has to be the winner.
Who was their GM last year? I don't even remember.
It doesn't matter. It wasn't Mike Mayock anymore. I know that.
Always liked Mike Mayock on draft coverage.
I did too. Not a great GM, he was good on NFL Network.
I was rooting for him to be good in the NFL because of how much I enjoyed his draft coverage, quite honestly.
I was too. No, you're not wrong on that. I was too.
Yeah. All right, that does it for us. Good work, Brian. Way to fill in. You're filling in tomorrow for me. We'll see about Friday, knock on wood. Coming up next, though, Soccer Matters. Glenn Davis, have you covered all the soccer matters in the world, and then Hall of Fame with Booker T, five-time, and Brad Gilmore comes up at 7 o'clock after that. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work and co-hosting the show. That's why he's talent. For Brian, I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you later, Houston. Soccer Matters next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.